The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt. I've got airplane voice. What's airplane voice? That's when you fly all day, and it just shows up in the voice the next day. Good morning, welcome back. Thanks to Kurt Schlichter and Ed Morrissey for filling in for me these last 3 days. I was at the biannual gathering. I think that's correct. Every 2 years, whenever there's a race for Congress, Kevin McCarthy and his team, Steve Scalise, the whip, and Tom Emmer, the chairman of the National Congressional Campaign, Kevin McCarthy is going to be Speaker of the House of Representatives come January. They gather their new candidates, and that new candidates conference, they have panels and they have data, and they got Frank Luntz, and they got had breakfast with Frank yesterday. Really remarkable to understand the state of the country. It is so anxious out there. The affordability has slipped away from half of America. And three quarters of the other half are worried that they will soon be met with a disaster in their budget. It's just that way. But the good news is help is on the way. I met with 11. I interviewed 11 new candidates. Got to listen to them in panels. Got to talk to them one-on-one. Did an interview for a group with four of them. And I'm excited. I'll be talking to them all. I've sent all their information to our wonderful team back east inside the Beltway. And by the way, I telling Kurt and Ed, thank you. And one of them wrote back and said, your team, my team is Cotillion and Shadow Throne. If any of you have read the Malazan Book of the Dead. And so Cotillion and Shadow Throne, other AKA Dwayne and Adam, did a very good job. And thank you, gentlemen, for taking care of our guest house. But these 11 people, Eli Crane running in Arizona's second, Juan Ciscomani, running in Arizona's sixth. Man, that is a superstar in the making. Write that name down, Juan Ciscomani. They're all superstars, but Juan's going to be governor or senator from Arizona someday. Dr. Rich McCormick from Georgia. First you fly helicopters for the Marines, and then you go to medical school, and you're a Navy surgeon for the Navy in Kandahar for two tours. Zach Nunn, another great veteran. Jennifer Ruth Green, another great veteran. Jennifer has been on. Jen Ruth Green has been on this program before. Aaron Hochin from Indiana. Lori Chavez de Remer. Oregon, you are going to have a terrific new congressperson. Alan Fung in Rhode Island. Believe it or not, Alan Fung in Rhode Island. There is a breath of life in Rhode Island. And Alan may be the funniest one to talk to because Alan is the child of parents who got out of Hong Kong while the getting was good. And he's been the mayor up in Cranston a couple of times. He was ran for governor once in Rhode Island just to carry the banner. But he can win Rhode Island, too. Alan Fung is a Chinese-American who has got that Red Sox accent, and it just drives you crazy, but he's a good guy. Wesley Hunt, not a first-time candidate. Wesley Hunt almost won last time, came up 2 points short in a heavily D district. Now he's got a competitive district. He's going to win. Jen Kiggins, going to just be terrific down in Virginia second. And then the sparkler in the room. Not among, these are all 11 great candidates, but Derek Van Orden lights up a room. Former senior chief in the SEALs. If you saw the movie Act of Valor, he's the interrogator. He's a real SEAL. They made Act of Valor with my buddy Rourke Denver and all of his pals who were on SEAL team. I think three. Those are just 11. I don't think any Democrat in this country whose district is D plus 14 is safe or less. It's like 1994, it's like 2010, but better for Republicans because it's the first election after redistricting where the effect of redistricting is almost always the most pronounced. So the generic ballot, I was reading yesterday on the airplane, is back up to R plus four, according to Trafalgar Group. And that's the generic ballot. Generic ballot just tells you the mood of the country at large. It doesn't tell you where the mood in the red states are or in competitive districts in blue states. I mean, Bruce Polk went up in Maine 1. Maine 2 is going to do great. I just went over the map with Frank. I went over the map with everyone. Did deep dives, interviewed everyone I could. So anxiety, as I said, is very high in this country. Affordability is on everybody's mind. Now, Jerome Powell has been confirmed. And one of my stories this morning is that the Fed let their minutes out yesterday. Minutes of when they get together, they meet in secret, and then they have a quick press conference to announce a rate hike. Then a few days later, or a couple of weeks later, they let out the minutes of the meeting. And the minutes of the meeting tell you where they're going to go. And those minutes are just jarring. Another 0.75 point is likely. At least 0.5 point is certain. And, well, I'll come to it. Let's just get started with the news. Times of Israel followed up on the, I see my computer is rebooted in my absence. That is always a lovely thing. Got to take down the volume. The Israelis and the Turks have reestablished diplomatic relations. That's the good news. That's been a long, cold winter between Turkey and Israel. But the leader of the Palestinian Authority, Abbas, said Israel's delivered 50 holocausts to Palestinians. That's so over the top. You wonder if the guy is dying and he just wants to go out with some Arafat-like rhetoric. I will continue to do everything necessary to maintain stability, said Benny Gantz. But that was a real blow. Benny Gantz has been doing one-on-ones with Abbas. So the blue and white party very much on its heels in the elections underway there. CDC yesterday. This was breaking last night. Coming to grips with its failures, its complete, manifest, abject failure over the COVID years. And Rochelle Walensky, who's the director of CDC, delivered this outside review that she asked for. But she didn't resign, which is what was implied in that review. Tony Fauci is still there. He should have resigned. This review reminded me of the review NASA did of NASA after the Challenger disaster. They found out everything they do is wrong from the moment they botched the first test, which very few people, I talked to Tony Fauci about it in the first interview on the show. Why did you guys botch the test for COVID? And he said, oh, blah, blah, no one's to blame. Everyone is to blame. Everything about it is to blame. So the New York Times says the public guidance has been, quote, confusing and overwhelming. You think? I'm a big fan of the vaccines. You know, I took my vaccines. I want everyone to get them. I got my booster shots. If I've had COVID, I didn't know it. Never tested positive. But I've got the antibodies, and I'll take another booster shot. I'm not debating that right now with you. I'm debating the messaging of CDC, which has been a disaster from the beginning. And they got a document from an external review that says, boy, you guys are messed up. Financial Times writes, top U.S. health officials admit dramatic mistakes in tackling COVID. They're not blaming Trump, by the way. They're not. They're not blaming Biden. They're blaming themselves because that's where the blame belongs. Meanwhile, there's an E. coli outbreak up in Ohio and Michigan. Follow the news there, people. 14 people in Ohio, 15 in Michigan have been sickened. Trouble is, that's going to be up to CDC to track down. I really don't have any confidence. Monkeypox, that's not CDC, that's HHS, of which CDC is a part. We have really botched monkeypox, and Team Biden ticked off one of the two worldwide manufacturers of it, Bavarian Nordic, called a U.S. senior U.S. health official, accused the Biden administration of breaching its contracts with his company by planning to use the doses in an unapproved manner. Two people with knowledge of this episode said that this company threatened, we're not going to send any more vaccine to you people. You're so incompetent. We're not going to waste it on you. It's just a very, very bad situation. Now, monkeypox is not coming to a theater near you unless you're intimate with men. Men with men is what's driving this. And more than 13,500 cases in the United States, beginning with one case in Massachusetts on May 17th. So the public health authorities have not only not given guidance, they've screwed up the vaccine on this, and it's a terrible health problem. And there's a lot of news to cover. I want to focus you on the Ukraine story about Ukraine's partisans. And the New York Times has a big story on the Ukrainian partisans who are out there fighting the battle behind enemy lines. While they're doing that, can I please encourage you to go to HughHewitt.com? Kurt and Ed did a good job doing this, but over at HughHewitt.com, you're going to find the Help Ukraine banner. And we can't do anything. We can't arm those partisans who are risking life to do like the French resistance behind lines. But we can send money to feed the people they've left behind via Food for the Poor's Help Ukraine campaign, which we are sponsoring. And they are sponsoring with us. It's at HughHewitt.com, that big blue and yellow banner help Ukraine? Every dollar you send becomes four meals. Make this $1,000 Thursday, please. That's what Mike Gallagher told me to do, and Mike is good at this. His heart is with him, so with me. Whatever you can afford, but if you can afford $1,000, $1,000 Thursday in the Help Ukraine effort, the button is at the top of HughHewitt.com. Come right back. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. I want to continue with the rundown of the news. By the way, with that Ukrainian pitch that I made you, this story on Ukraine's partisans is one of the most inspiring stories. It is. I used to read stories about the French resistance when I was in elementary schools and could not believe how they would help pilots across the line, how they would blow up bridges, attack Nazi and Gestapo officers. Well, that's going on in Ukraine now. And you cannot help them. You cannot help the partisans, but you can help their families. So I said it's $1,000 Thursday. I'm hoping people will simply call the number 855-359-4673 or go to HughHewitt.com and hit that Help Ukraine button. But if you can only give 100, please, if I get 100 of you to give 100, we've done some serious work in getting food to Ukraine, food for the poor, delivering four meals for every dollar you contribute to the destitute people of Ukraine. The Help Ukraine banner is over there. Now, a federal judge yesterday in Ohio ordered CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart to pay $650 million to two Ohio counties. Now, those two Ohio counties are very near and dear to me. Trumbull County, my home country. That's it. That's Warren Niles. That's where I grew up. And Lake County, where I spent every summer on the shores of Lake Erie, where all four of my grandparents are from. Fentanyl has ravaged those country. Now, trial lawyers have descended. I am not a fan of this because of that $650 million. If it's awarded by a federal judge, so I assume it's going to stand, that $650 million is going to cripple those pharmacies. They're not giving out fentanyl. Fentanyl is coming over an open southern border. And when I mean open, when I was in Wyoming, more than we passed the all-time record for arrests at the border, and those are the people we caught. They're just turning themselves in because they get caught and released. But we're at something like 2,100,000 in August, and it's an all-time high. Joe Biden has basically opened the border. So when I see my beloved homeland as the scene of $650 million in judgment against the Ohio operations of CVS, Walgreens, and Walmart, I say to myself, they really ought to assess that against the United States government. They ought to cross-complain and say, if you don't close our border, people order fake pills that look like they came from CVS, Walmart, and Walgreens, and we want that. You know, blaming fentanyl on the pharmacies is just idiotic. But they did it. Now, the very bad economic news. While traveling, I called Andrew Del Rey and Andrew and Todd yesterday. I said, Andrew, tell me how bad is it? He said, it's really bad. Because yesterday, the federal officials reviewed their efforts to tame inflation, and they have committed to raising rates even more. The question, according to the New York Times, is by how much? Another three-quarter point increase would be a strong indication that policymakers are determined not to relax their efforts until they see clear evidence. That's what I expect. And Andrew tells me they had a brief breather in interest rates, but people are calling them up, and you can call andrewandtodd.com at 888-888-1172. They are the best people to borrow from. They are our lenders, Sierra Pacific Mortgage. And you can also go to andrewandtodd.com and say, what do I do? And they'll say, here's the best rate today, better than it was 5 weeks ago. It's not going to be this good next week. Buy now if you're going to buy. They are also doing reverse mortgages as fast as they can because senior citizens age 62 up to 100. If you're sitting on your home and there's equity in it, and andrewandtodd.com are a sponsor of my show, but I have used them. Dwayne has used them. Everybody on my family has used them because they're very ethical, good, solid performers, soup to nuts. But senior citizens, he told me, are just stretched to the limit with gas and food, especially groceries. Groceries went up 13% year over year in July. And so people can't buy their food. And so, not surprisingly, and actually quite wisely, some senior citizens are electing to get reverse mortgages. And the children of senior citizens are electing to help them get reverse mortgages. Call them today. Don't wait. It's going to go up. Retail sales were flat in July. Flat. We are in a recession. We are absolutely in a recession. And the Telegraph reported last night that Great Britain has suffered the worst inflation in 40 years. Europe is, you know, used to say when America gets a cold, the world gets a fever. Well, we had a stroke. Our economy had a stroke. We shut it down. And the world is still stumbling around. China is on the edge of being dragged down. And I'll bring you more China news after the break. There's a lot of news because I've been gone for a few days and it bubbles up. In the meantime, I want you to head over to HughHewitt.com, not just to help Ukraine, but to see the list of candidates and websites who are going to take back the House and stop this ridiculous spending that is fueling inflation and bringing a recession. Stay tuned. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Bonjour, hi, Canada, and greetings everyone who is listening. I am Hugh Hewitt inside of the studio back after a few days off. And I come back strong with Herschel Walker. Team Herschel is his website. Herschel, good to talk to you again, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing? And thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining me. Herschel, I was down in Atlanta at the American Legislative Exchange Council 2 weeks ago. Herschel signs were everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. At the same time since then, MSNBC viciously attacked you in the most racist thing I've heard on TV, calling you the Republican kind of Negro. And crime in Atlanta is out of control. So let's go in the order. Do you want to respond to that attack or do you want to talk about crime?
Well, you know, we can do both. You know, one of the things with that attack, you know, a lot of the left can't win on issues and they have their media attacking me. And I think it's a shame that you have someone on MSNBC and the gentleman to say something like that. And it is a shame. And I think that's what's happening right now. People are so emotional. But I invite both of those MSNBC and the gentleman to come down and meet me. Let's talk about things. I think that's the way we bring this country together. I'm worried about this country, not worried about individual attacks, because there's people dying on the streets in here in Atlanta. There's kids that are starving, and you know, and we got to stop this. And the way we can do it is by bringing people together, and they believe in separating people.
Yeah, that's very much Proverbs 15:1 right there. A soft word turns away wrath. I get wound up when I see stuff like that, Herschel. And you were just that's a soft word turning away wrath. Did Raphael Warnock condemn that? Because I hope you would condemn a racist attack on Raphael Warnock. I know you would, but that was just outward.
I would, and he's not going to condemn it. You know, one thing about Senator Warnock, and I've said it many times. Some of the things he said is not biblical. Some of the things he does, you can tell that he's not even a good senator because he doesn't seem to represent the people of Georgia. You know, he's voted with Joe Biden 96% of the time, and a lot of those policies do not match what is great for Georgia. So, you know, he's not going to condemn anything like that right now. You know, I've been they spent almost $34 million against me right now with lies and with different things. But I've said many times, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Right now, the people want to know what you can do for the state of Georgia, what you can do for this country, and they can't win on their issues right now. So they're going to attack me, but I'm going to continue to get out there and talk to the people, to let the people know who I am, what I can do, and but then forget about the football. You know, I haven't played football in over 30-something years. I've built companies. I've done a lot of great things after that, and that's what I want people to know. You don't want a man that never been knocked down and gotten up. You want someone that has been tested, and he know what he's going to do, and he's going to do it for the people.
I tell people, Herschel, that the first time I met you at an AM 920 event, I walked away telling people, don't get between Georgians and Herschel Walker, you'll get run over. And I know you are a terrific campaigner. I want to know, though, if people are talking about the cost of groceries. They went up 13% year over year. I don't know that people are able to feed their family right now.
That's what they're talking about. And that's why I said that they can't win on the issues. They want to talk about everything except the cost of groceries. They want to talk about everything except the crime. They want to talk about everything except bringing wokeness into our military. You know, they continue to talk about there's peace through strength, but yet they're bringing wokeness into our military that's going to get our service men and women kill. They want to talk about, you know, not backing their men and women in blue, defunding the police. And yet we need to support our men and women in blue right now. The morale is down. Recruitment is down. And we can't have a country like that. We got to have strong leaders in Washington and someone that's not afraid to pick that baton up and run with it. I think we've had a lot of people in Washington that just let that baton stay there and not try to move it forward. Well, what I want to do is bring unity back to Washington, bring people back together, and let them realize that this is the greatest country in the world. And the way we made it like that is by working together. We have problems, but we can solve them together and not out fighting among each other.
Well, let's talk about the number two issue. Number one issue is inflation, but I want to talk to you about crime. And, you know, crime is usually a local issue. You get these prosecutors who don't prosecute, no cash bail. You get the border's completely open and fentanyl's running into this country and killing kids and adults. Does crime matter in a United States Senate race?
Oh, it does matter, and it should matter a great deal. Crime should matter a great deal. Here in Atlanta, homicides are up over 40%, and I tell you something that is really astonishing. You know, rape is up over 200%.
We have a DA here in Fulton County, DA
Willis, who, and I happened to be looking at this in February, there was five gentlemen that was arrested on property crime, and combined, you look at over time, they've been arrested 155 times, and 31 of those times were felonies, and yet they're running the streets today. And I said, that cannot happen. We got to get the right people in office, the right DA that's going to do the right thing for the people. We got to make our streets safe so moms can walk out to go to the grocery store. Kids can go outside and play. I was at a women's group. This week is Women for Walker Week. And I was at a women's group, and I had a young lady talking about her kids out walking in their neighborhood. And they had two gentlemen try to pick them up. They had two gentlemen try to kidnap them out in their neighborhood. We cannot have that. We cannot have that. We got to have our men and women in blue. We got to have their support. We got to support them, and we got to give them trust. Let them, they can trust us again.
Now, Herschel, the suburbs are the key, but I like to hear that you're working the inner city in Atlanta, because it's one of the, when I was there, I was literally there last month, and I thought to myself, it's too dangerous to go into some of these places. I went over to the Varsity, as I always do when I go there. I hope you go to the Varsity. You're in such great shape. You probably don't eat at the Varsity much, but I love the Varsity. But are you campaigning hard in the inner city? Are you looking for the black vote? Are you working it hard?
I do. I campaign everywhere, and that's what I told everyone. I'm going to campaign in the Democratic area, I'm going to campaign in Republican, Independent, because I represent everybody. You know, I'm not just going to say, people always say he's a conservative, he's Republican. No, I'm for the people. And I said, that's what Raphael Warnock, he's not for the people, he's for Joe Biden. He doesn't seem to listen to the people. And I think I may have forced him to come down and campaign a little bit, but that's what he should have been doing. Get in here listening to the people, because if he was listening to the people, he wouldn't have voted on some of the terrible bills that he's agreed to. You know, how in the world could he agree to a lot of the bills and voted on them when he never even talked to the people to see that they're going to hurt the people here in Georgia?
What did Georgia voters think about 87,000 new IRS staffers? I mean, I just can't believe Warnock voted for that. 87,000 new IRS people.
I was telling the women last night, think about this. I think Georgia stadium seats about 85,000, maybe a little more. You were telling me that we're going to get a stadium full of IRS agents, and yet the border is wide open. We can use border patrol. We can use putting money back into our police force. We can use buying military equipment. We can use that money to protect schools, and yet they're thinking about IRS agents. So you got to think about, what are they looking at? They're looking at to come after you. They're looking at to come after you, to tax you. They're going to say they're not going to tax the middle class. That is totally not the truth, and that's what's been so funny. My guy I'm running against doesn't mind telling the people a lie. That's not the truth, and I'm going to say it's a lie. They're misleading the people, and I think that's what's wrong.
Well, I know you are willing to debate Raphael Warnock. I hope, though, you set conditions that you get a fair set of moderators. I've done debates for a long time, and my advice to the Georgians was make sure you just don't line up liberals, because they'll come after you, and they'll throw softballs to Raphael Warnock.
Well, you saw that they were calling me name on MSNBC, but yet I said I want this debate to be about the people. And I've challenged to debate him in his hometown on October the 14th in front of an audience. and it'll be televised statewide, where everyone get an opportunity to see the contrast between Senator Warnock and myself. And I think they'll have a clear vote. They'll have a clear reason to pick me as their senator, because they know I will represent them well. But he's running, he's hiding, and he only want to do it where it's not going to be fair to me or fair to the people.
Just reject that. Debate them often, but make sure it's fair. Herschel, talk to me about money for the campaign. I know small dollar donors matter a great deal to you, and you've got small dollar donor support. Judging by the audience I saw come out to see you last year in Atlanta.
Well, I tell you what, the people have been doing very, very well donating to my campaign, and there's no doubt they are raising me right now almost 4-1. And they're raising a lot of money. They want to try to buy this seat. So I want to ask anyone out there to go to teamherschel.com, whatever you can give, because I'm not going to give this seat up. They're not going to buy this seat. They're going to go out and work for it and earn this seat and show the people they're going to represent the people, because that's who I represent. So whatever people can do, go to teamherschel.com, contribute to my campaign, or if you want to do door knocking, come out and volunteer your time. Let's win this seat back for Georgia. Let's win it back for this country and get this country back together.
Herschel Walker, keep coming back in these last 82 days. I know you run through the tape. You're probably the least worried I am about anyone not running through the tape. You'll probably be campaigning the day after the election.
Well, I would still continue to love the people in Georgia, and I've told everyone, Georgia, you're my family. I don't care what color you are, you're my family. In the United States of America, you're a citizen of the United States of America, you're my family. And I was taught from my parents, protect your family. Right now, my family is in trouble, and I'm going to protect my family.
Herschel Walker, great to talk to you. TeamWalker.com. Team Herschel. I'm sorry, TeamHerschel.com. Team Herschel. H-E-R-S, you Pittsburgh Steelers fans. TeamHerschel.com. I'll be right back. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. When I read yet another story suggesting that J.D. Vance was behind in Ohio by a lot, I said, polling is so broken and people do not know it. What does Michael Barone think? So I went and looked around, found an article by Michael. He brought me up to speed. And I said, let's track down the master of the political universe, Michael Barone. He joins us. Michael, what do you see happening? Is this an open field election, or is this a red wave, or is it a red tide, or what is it?
I think it's a red movement at the present time. It has the capacity to be to look like a wave if we're looking at House races in particular, where you can get, when things favor one party, you can get results that don't seem to derive immediately from the past election. Big swings, for example, in districts where people aren't fully prepared. We've seen some upticks in the last 3-4 weeks in voting intention for Democrats in the generic polls. It's running about even. Of course, we know historically that about even question has tended to understate Republican advantage. And if that's still true, that may be there. We know also that that there's a tendency to for pollsters to miss certain individuals. I've just reviewed for the Free Beacon, I think it's going online this week, a book by the polling analyst G. Elliot Morris, a young man who works for The Economist magazine, analyzing polls. And he's pretty conventional liberal analyst. He says, yeah, there's, people tend to miss conservative voters. It's as if they, the phone lines, the interviews don't seem to get beyond the big metropolitan areas. And of course, in this era, going back to the Republican primaries of 2008 and 12, even before Donald Trump, and certainly now that Trump has become a central figure, the difference between metropolitan areas and non-major metropolitan areas, less than 1 million people, is really big. Your native state of Ohio, you look at historically some of the big metropolitan areas, and there historically Cincinnati, Columbus, leaned a Republican overall. The Republican votes in the suburbs and affluent neighborhoods outran the Democratic votes in some of the working class and black areas. Whereas you had districts, counties, small counties along the Ohio River with an industrial background that came in Democratic every time. Well, that ain't true no more. those counties along the Ohio River are now most Republican counties in the state in most cases until you get to Athens County where you've got the University of Ohio.
Right, right. I got to tell you what Kevin McCarthy told me just in the last couple of days. I was talking to the leader about what's this look like. And he doesn't want to get over his skis. He hates overconfidence. He wants people to run through the tape. But he pointed out to me, he asked, what are the most memorable elections? Well, 1994, the Newt election, and 2010, the Obamacare election. Republicans had big surges. He said, what's different about, doing the Socratic thing? What's different? And I thought about it. Those elections did not come on the heels of redistricting. 94 was only 2 years away from new lines, but 2010 was 8 years away from new lines. This is the first time a wave's been forming up on new lines, Michael. What's that mean to you?
Well, what it means to me is that some incumbents, probably this year mostly Democratic incumbents, are not going to be able to count on an extended acquaintance with their constituents. I mean, you take this Abigail Spanberger, 7th District of Virginia. Well, the 7th District of Virginia, in which she was elected a couple of times in 2018, 2020, was a district that was big barges were in suburban Richmond, those affluent suburbs that have been trending Democratic. And she made some friends up there and so forth. The redistricting this time by a two-member bipartisan commission, which our friend Sean Trendy of Ohio was the Republican member, made a different 7th district in which she's running. And that district is Spotsylvania and Stafford counties around Fredericksburg going down I-95 from Washington, exurban Washington, D.C., where you finally begin, as you get away from the nation's capital, to find neighborhoods that vote Republican. Mrs. Spanberger has had, only a few months to get acquainted with those people. They've never voted for her before unless they move from Richmond. And so that's going to be a little more difficult for her than it would be if she'd been representing those people for 6 years.
Well, let me talk about a different district, Michael. You always keep this in your back pocket. I want to talk about Maine 2nd, where I vacation often. That went blue after a number of years. The last one of the Republicans to win, Bruce Polquin's coming back, Harvard class of 76. He's a little bit older for a candidate, but he knows the district. Those lines changed. It doesn't look like it changed much on a map, but it changed pretty significantly in the RRD divide. And I think Bruce Polquin's got that one with the wind at his back at this way. And just small changes make big differences.
Well, that can be true. And that's we would have Jared Golden, the Democrat that's held that district for two times, I think could go away. I think the biggest danger for Republicans this year, as in 2012, and the biggest question mark for them, as it was a question mark at this point in the 2016 cycles, the Senate races. We've had some odd candidate choices for the Republican primaries, influenced heavily by Donald Trump, that are, let me put on my old hat as a campaign consultant emeritus, not ideal for the state. I mean, here you got Mehmet Oz, 1% winner in the Republican primary, a guy who grew up in Turkey and has a mansion in Cliffside Park, New Jersey, overlooking Manhattan. And he's running. He's a Republican in a state that's been pretty evenly divided in the Senate races. And he's running way behind the Democrat who had a stroke before the primary and hasn't emerged from his basement and spoken in public until the last week.
Let's stay on Dr. Oz because I spent some time with him on Monday. First time I've met him. The guy is becoming a better candidate by the minute. And I saw him on the stump for the first time, and I had one-on-one conversation with him. And we talked candidly about Dr. Oz's newness to politics, but he's got great communication chops. I don't think that's an 11-point race. I actually think it's probably statistically within the margin of error, but Fetterman, I wanted to ask you specifically about Fetterman's disability. He is disabled. He cannot take questions. It's something ASPHY. I can't know what it is. The stroke and the heart condition really crippled him, and he went to Erie, and he talked for under 10 minutes, and a lot of it was disjointed. Do voters register that, Michael Barone, in your experience? Do they know when the candidate is incapacitated?
Well, I think they, if they know the candidate well enough, and they may feel a certain pity, sympathy with him. I mean, Senator Tim Johnson, a Democrat elected in South Dakota by a very narrow margin over John Thune, I believe, in 2002, came back in that race, and I think he won another term in 2008, even though he'd had a pretty severely disabling stroke. Now, in a state like South Dakota, everybody's met the senator. They've talked to him. Tim Johnson is not a guy who you would mistake for somebody that's running against Jerry Nadler and Carolyn Maloney in one of those Manhattan districts. There was a certain amount of sympathy for a guy who'd gotten struck down at age 50 or so by this. But I'm not sure that those things are the case in the Fetterman.
I remember Mark Kirk in Illinois. There have been three stroke candidates, Mark Kirk, Tim Johnson, and now John Fetterman. Mark Kirk got no sympathy bump. I think you're right about Tim Johnson. I think it occurred fairly close to the election, may not have been well known. Thune lost to him and then beat Daschle the following cycle. But let me ask you about a much more important question, Michael, for both. This is the one I really wanted to ask you about. Hold forth on this. Democrats are thinking they're getting a relief from inflation, but groceries in July went up 13%, even as gas fell 40 cents a gallon. Do you think inflation has gone the other way for Democrats now? Because I don't. People got to shop for groceries every week.
Well, I think, you know, if gasoline went up from $6 to $7 a gallon, then $8 next month and $9 a month after that, that
Lights
would be
out.
A shock. It's less of a shock than that, but I think it's a pretty severe situation. I mean, what do we say? It's usually men buying the gas and women buying the groceries, but I think that gets mixed up a lot these days too. Walmart did some research, and basically they found that people are substituting hot dogs for bratwurst and for pork loins and things like that. People are reacting to inflation by spending less and presumably on food that they don't quite like as much.
It's called the white bread index. They're buying a lot of white bread as opposed to, you know, the sourdough baguettes. People are really crunched.
Well, I think that's true. And I think that that's the case. And I think inflation remains on. This idea that the bill that they passed recently is an Inflation Reduction Act is really a figure of fun. And if we had anything like neutral late night comics, and I guess we do it, case of Gary Gutfeld, it would be a matter of a joke, multiple jokes every night.
Right.
It's kind of ridiculous. I mean, you know, we've got inflation out of control, immigration out of control. We've got these prices out of control. It's not an ideal record for the Democrats. It's a little less not ideal than it was a couple months ago, in my view, but it's not ideal. I think the other thing we have to look at, Hugh, is the benchmark. Remember in 94 and 90 and 2010, two cases you cited where Republicans gained 54 seats, 63 seats, they were starting pretty low. They were starting with like 189 seats, 192 seats or something like that. They're starting now with 213 seats. So just, you know, 5-6 seats out of a majority. I wouldn't expect them to gain as many seats. If they gained, 63 seats, they would have more seats than they won in any election since 1920.
Right.
That's beginning to look like it's not going to happen. The Republican in recent times, the biggest number of seats they've won is 247. Measuring that against a benchmark of 213, you're looking at what? You're looking at 34 seats there.
That's doable, I think, Michael Barone. I think that's doable.
I think it's up towards the high range of what's doable, and I think it could be a little more than that. And I think it could be less, depending on some other things that are going on, candidate quality. I think one of the other things that's fascinating, Hugh, Democrats are spending more money on these races than Republicans. Even though the odds favor the Republicans controlling the House and the next Congress, and you'd think a lot of smart money would want to get in there early with the Republicans, the Democrats increasingly are the party of affluent college graduates, the kind of people who
woke people
and can send in money. And that's an advantage from them. They've been.
It is an advantage. Michael, we are out of time. It is always good to keep coming back between now and the election. Michael Barona, the dean, the dean emeritus, maybe, but still the dean of politics in America. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by former United States Senator Jim Talent. Normally, I talk national defense with Jim, and I do politics today. Jim, looks to me like Eric Schmidt's going to easily walk away with a Missouri Senate win. That's a relief, isn't it?
Yeah, and I completely agree. And I think he's going to be a great senator. I think he's going to win big. I think we're going to do fine in Missouri. We got a couple of new good congressional candidates, Mark Alford in the 4th and Eric Burleson in the 7th. Strong presences in the district. Alford was a TV broadcaster for many years, a small businessman, and Eric comes from a long, a well-known family in Southwest Missouri, and he's a really strong political, and a good guy, good conservative. I think we're going to do fine in Missouri.
You know, I met with 11 new candidates who will be serving their first term if successful in the fall, whether it's Eli Crane in Arizona who's a SEAL or Derek Van Orden who's a SEAL in Wisconsin, But a lot of them were different than my dad's Republican Party or my Republican Party or your Republican Party. You're younger than me. I mean, we have not had a Jennifer Ruth Green, black woman, Air Force Academy grad, running in Indiana's 9th. We have not had Alan Fung in Rhode Island 2nd. The face, the gender of the Republican Party is changing so rapidly, and that's a good thing, Jim Talent.
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, your comment about redistricting years, bringing in really good, fresh young talent was right on. And, of course, it was music to my ears because that's when I went in.
Oh, did you go in a redistricting year?
Absolutely. And, we had people like Eddie Royce in our class and Mike Crapo, a bunch of really good people, and also a lot of people who were new to politics who ended up doing really well. So, yeah, I'm very enthusiastic about the House. And I'm still optimistic about the Senate. I tend to agree with you. Democrats have done a decent job this summer, and I knew they were going to try and do it, of shifting the focus off of inflation and trying to energize their base by getting Biden off the screen and doing something successfully. Okay, but the summer's a time people don't pay as much attention. I'm talking about voters. In the real red zones after Labor Day. So what the Senate's going to turn and how well these candidates can do in these contested races. And we'll see. I mean,
I've got Herschel coming up after the break here at the top of the hour. But I want to finish by asking, since you're a man of the House as well as man of the Senate, I've known a bunch of speakers. Denny Hastert, I knew him before his problems, his very, very important and terrible problems surfaced. I knew John Boehner, used to come to my studio. I knew Paul Ryan pretty well. And, you know, I look at Boehner as being purely political. I look at Paul Ryan as being weighted 70-30 policy over politics. You know, I've known Kevin McCarthy since 1990. I think he has the potential to be a magnificent speaker because he combines policy facility and awareness, but with a political appetite and attention to detail that I just haven't seen in a speaker. I mean, he really knows his candidates, and he worked harder than anybody, at least the equal of anybody working for people.
Yeah, I tell people, it's funny you say that, because I tell people I think Kevin's going to do very well, to the point where if I were a betting man, I'd bet good American money on him. I think he understands the conference. You know, the conference is the caucus of Republican members. I think he may understand these new people we've been talking about better than John and Ryan did, and they're close friends of mine as well, and I thought were good speakers. And he's focuses on policy on the big things. He's very, for example, focused on China. And I think we're going to see a lot of that in the new House. So I have reasonably good hopes about him. Now, it's an extremely difficult job, and everybody should try and give him a little bit of time. And we shouldn't, by the way, be measuring curtains for his office until
no.
we actually
get You know what there. He reminds me of? Urban Meyer's a friend of mine. And best recruiter in America. Some people say Nick Saban, but when Urban was coaching, best recruiter, and he would sit down with in people's living rooms and he'd bring them in. He'd bring those recruits, those five-star athletes in. Kevin McCarthy is a recruiter. I mean, and he's a coach. He just, You know, Jim, I don't know who persuaded you to run years ago, but you were a good candidate. Getting people into the race, that's what Kevin has done. It's just remarkable what he's
done. Yeah, it's hugely important, and the right kind of people, and managing this process without alienating people. That's the difficulty when you try and shape who the candidate's going to be. The risk is that you end up alienating people in districts, you know, who are disappointed. I think he's avoided that. And I think he's done the nuts and bolts very well.
Yeah, he really has. We'll see.
I have good hopes for Kevin.
More ahead with Jim Talent as the weeks roll on. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Talent with the Bipartisan Policy Center, the voice of experience and political policy experience and of national security. Coming up, America, Herschel. You know, I mean, Herschel Walker. Going to be the next senator from Georgia. He's going to be a great one. Stay tuned, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.